We'll read from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. Philippians, chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. O Lord, we thank you for the salvation of all who have believed on Jesus for it, who have received the free gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that salvation, and thank you, Lord, that each one who is saved and knows it, knows what we have just read, that to die is gain. To depart and be with Christ is very much better. Lord, we rejoice in you today and in this great truth. Lord, I pray for anyone in our midst or perhaps watching or listening into this message who has not yet believed in Jesus for their eternal salvation. Lord, I pray for them today. I pray that something of these words would be taken by your Holy Spirit and implanted within them, and that they would begin to find themselves believing on Christ for their salvation. So thank you, Lord, for the promise of eternal life, and may we see in it today some of the joyful, blissful truth that we will experience when we get to that state. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, having established the future of the human soul, and last time we answered all of the various kinds of objections to that, we're ready now to go on to some of the further details. And we're looking today at what is called the intermediate state. Now, what is that and why is it called that? That's what we're thinking about here at the beginning. There are three states, or we might call them conditions. Conditions or states of human existence. Three. Not four. Not five. Three. The first state of human existence is from your conception until your physical death. There is not a state of human existence prior to conception. Okay? Prior to conception, you were not a disembodied spirit floating around out there, and then all of a sudden you were brought and came and put in a body. No. You began to exist at the moment of conception. That other view of disembodied spirits floating around, that's what mystery cults and others teach, but it's not what the Bible teaches. So the first state from conception to physical death, and everyone I'm talking to this morning has some handle on that, because that's the state you're in right now, isn't it? Okay? The second state is from physical death until bodily resurrection. Now, for believers, that would be from physical death until your body is resurrected and glorified. For unbelievers, that is from physical death until your body is resurrected in a condemnation suit. But that state from physical death until bodily resurrection. And that is what we're talking about this morning. That state. The third state is from bodily resurrection throughout eternity future. And there is only one person in that state now, and that's Jesus. Jesus is in his glorified body, bodily resurrected, and he will be throughout all eternity in that. But that is a future state for believers in a glorified body, for unbelievers in a condemned body. Now, why are we calling this morning the intermediate state? Well, I just gave you three states, right? Which one is in the middle? Okay, the one in the middle, from physical death until bodily resurrection, that's why it's called intermediate. It's in between those two. So the intermediate state is the condition of human existence between physical death and bodily resurrection. And it's a state that interests many people, because many people I've known who have died are in that state right now, in the intermediate state. People you know who have died. And we're talking now this morning about believers, saved people who have died. Next time, we'll talk about unbelievers in the intermediate state. In other words, today will be very joyful. Next time will be very sobering. So, the intermediate state, and it would be great if our Bibles said, here's a passage that says, I'll tell you all about the intermediate state and what that's like. I'm sorry, there is not a passage in the Bible like that. There are lots of passages that give us descriptions. They give us hints. They give us clues about what it'll be like. And that's what we're looking at here this morning. So, eight descriptions of the intermediate state of the believer. And just to be clear again, by believer, we mean one who has believed or trusted upon Jesus Christ for the free gift of eternal life, for forgiveness of sin, for the free gift of salvation. A believer is saved, and a believer knows they are saved. If you don't know that you're saved, then you don't believe. It goes together. So, the intermediate state of the believer. The first description, John chapter 11, verse 25. The intermediate state for the believer is real. It's real. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. There you go. For the believer, the intermediate state is real. Death doesn't end anything. No. Jesus said, we'll live even if we die. Some of you might know the name Billy Sunday. He was a famous evangelist. Actually, he was a famous baseball player before he was an evangelist. He was a famous baseball player, and he was a famous drunk. And he got saved, and he began preaching. I actually stood behind, it's at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, the last pulpit that Billy Sunday ever smashed. When he would preach, he had these huge hands, and he just splintered pulpits. You know, you probably don't want to replace this every week, so I don't do that. But Billy Sunday would splinter them. Well, Billy Sunday was preaching one time, and he made the statement, someday you'll hear that I'm dead. When you hear that, don't believe it, because I'll be more alive than I've ever been. And then he went on and he kept preaching. And about 20 minutes later, during the preaching, he reached up and he grabbed his chest and he just fell down to the floor and keeled over. And so all the people came to check on him and to see, and you know, everybody came up to see what. When everybody got gathered around, Billy Sunday jumped up and he said, I told you, don't believe it. Now, you know, that might have been a little crude way of making the point. But he did make the point, didn't he? For the believer in Christ, a moment after you die, you'll be more alive than you've ever been. Yeah. It's real. Description number two. The intermediate state is far better. Far better. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, to live is Christ. And to die is what? Gain. To die isn't loss for a believer. To die is gain. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. Paul says, the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Okay? The intermediate state for the believer is gain. Got it? The intermediate state for the believer is very much better than the state that you're in right now. Wow. Now, you know, I had a guy tell me one time, well, that Paul, he had a death wish. No, he had a life wish. Not a death wish. He knew that this was gain, that this was very much better. So, if you only got that this morning, you would have plenty to rejoice in. For the believer, the moment after you physically die, you've gained. Your condition is very much better even than it is right now. Description number 3. Clothed. Now, why do we use that term, clothed? We find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Clothed. And by clothed, clothing, we mean some kind of intermediate state body. We'll talk a lot more about that, Lord willing, in a couple weeks. An intermediate state body, clothed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know. Now that's an important statement. This is something believers know. We know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. Okay, by earthly tent, by house, he's referring to your physical body. Your physical body gets torn down. If it's torn down, here's what Paul says. We know we have a building from God. Some other kind of tent. Some other kind of house that's from God. A house not made with hands. It's from God. Eternal in the heavens. By the word eternal, Paul is describing what this house, this tent, this intermediate state body is fit to dwell in. It's eternal in that sense. Eternal in the heavens. This is some kind of body suited for heavenly existence. Verse 2. For indeed in this house we groan. Your physical body. You know, you get up and down from the chair, you groan. Groan more than you used to. longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. We don't want to just be bodiless, naked when we die. We long to be clothed. Verse 3, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. Now, verse 3 tells you something if you are a believer. When you got saved, a heavenly, eternal, we might call it prototypical body became kind of imposed on you when you got saved. So he says in verse 3, having put it on. So I already have that. You say, well, I don't see that. All I see is you. But there's something there. Verse 4, for indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Okay, just hear this from these verses. There are no disembodied human spirits floating around. That's what it would mean to be naked. There are only clothed spirits, not naked spirits. They are embodied in some way that's fit for eternity, that's fit for heaven in the intermediate state. Now, more about that maybe in a couple weeks, but just begin to tuck that idea away. Clothed. So the intermediate state for the believer is real. It is far better. It is clothed in some kind of bodily form. Description number 4, it is conscious. Here in 2 Corinthians still, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Okay? When the believer dies, they are present. They are at home with the Lord. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. So do you know what? A believer who dies has still the conscious desire an ambition, it's called, to be pleasing to the Lord. You'll want to please the Lord probably even more after you physically die than you do now. Pleasing to the Lord. Psalm 73, a conscious state for a believer. Psalm 73, verse 24. With your counsel, you will guide me. And afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. The very presence of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven is enough. That's not even the word you want to use. It's everything. It's not just enough. It's everything. In the intermediate state, you have God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can ask all other kinds of questions, and we'll deal with some of those this morning, about what it will be like in the intermediate state. But do you know this? All you desire, all you really want is God. That's it. Because you know if you have Him, the rest of it just all gets taken care of. You know, that's even true in the state you're in now, today. You know, when the Lord is at the center of your life, all the details of the circumference take care of themselves. If the Lord isn't at the center of your life, man, you're spinning out of control. So, this will be a conscious state. Description number 5, restful. Revelation chapter 6, verse 11, describes people in this state, albeit in a future time. Revelation 6, 11, white robe, told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. Rest for a little while longer. Now, that the intermediate state is restful is in contrast with the intermediate state for unsaved people, Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, where it says, they have no rest day and night. So restful for the believer. No rest for the unbeliever. We'll get to that next time. Restful for the believer. Now, I want to be careful here. Restful. Rest a little while longer. Does not imply inactivity. It does not. Nor does it imply what we see sometimes on funeral sympathy cards and even headstones and so forth. Nor does it imply eternal rest. You know, you won't find in your Bible, he entered into his eternal rest. And do you know what? When I hear that, I just go, boring. Okay? Yeah. So, and yet that's the concept that some people get of heaven, is it's just eternal rest. Well, you know what? It is restful in the sense that there is not turmoil, there is not confusion, there is rest, but that is not inactivity. So the believer doesn't enter into his eternal rest. And by the way, neither does an unbeliever. But there is rest in it. It's restful. Description number 6. Serving and protected. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 15. For this reason they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. They will hunger no more, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. In the intermediate state, serving, worshiping, under the protection of the Lord, His tabernacle spread over them. They won't hunger, they won't thirst, there will be no sun strokes or heat strokes. Tears wiped away. The Lamb, Jesus, in the center of the throne. That's what will be going on. That's what is for our loved ones even now. going on. Serving and so it's not inactive. And it's totally focused on the Lord. Jesus is at the center. Description number 7. Paradise, or the third heaven. Paradise. And that's what it's called. And we'll learn more about this in weeks to come as well. But do remember Luke 23, verse 43. Jesus said to the dying thief who got saved next to him on the cross, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." In paradise. Now, paradise now, since the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, paradise is in the third heaven. So that's why we say, "I'm going to heaven when I die." Actually, you're going to paradise. And paradise is in the third heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 2, Paul says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up to where? The third heaven." Now this is the very throne room of God. The first heaven is the atmosphere in which you live, the sky and all that. The second heaven is what you would normally call outer space. And so the third heaven is the throne room of God. Say, "Well, what's seventh heaven?" It's not in the Bible. Okay. Third heaven. Now, Paul says, verse 3, "I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, God knows." But he says, "I know how such a man was caught up into paradise." Now, Paul just said he was caught up into the third heaven. Now he says he was caught up into paradise. So where is paradise? The third heaven. "And heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak." There's a lot that goes on in the intermediate state for the believer in paradise that we're not allowed to know and couldn't talk about it even if we did know. That's what he says. It's paradise. The third heaven. Now, you can picture that
however you like, but you do know this, that is pure bliss. It's total joy. It's paradise. You know, heaven is not like your best vacation. It's so much better. I know we talk about, I went to a tropical paradise on my vacation. Okay, well, you might have gone somewhere tropical, but it wasn't paradise. But heaven is paradise. Description number 8. It's imperishable. It's undefiled. It's unfading. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. An inheritance imperishable. There's nothing about your condition in the intermediate state that can perish. Nothing. It's undefiled. There is nothing there that can defile. There's no sin. There's no sickness. It's undefiled. It cannot be defiled. And it's unfading. It will not fade away. You know, you won't say something like, well, man, I died 100 years ago, and now I'm in the intermediate state here in heaven, and I'm just getting a little tired of it and bored with it. No, no. It will be as real, as alive, as fresh after 100 years as it was on day one. It will say, well, what if I died 2,000 years ago? Yeah. Still true. Unfading. So, these are some descriptions of the believer in the intermediate state. Now, just kind of quickly, some examples of believers in the Bible in the intermediate state. And we've looked over the last few weeks at Lazarus, the poor man who was saved. He died, Luke 16, verses 22 through 25. He died. He was carried away by the angels. Notice angelic involvement at the time of his death. Carrying him to Abraham's bosom, which is the same as paradise. To Abraham's bosom, and he's there. Notice that the rich man is calling out for Lazarus to help, and Abraham says then, no, you had your comfort in your life, but now Lazarus is being comforted here in Abraham's bosom in paradise. Okay? So just keep some of those details in mind. Lazarus, the other one, the brother of Martha and Mary, remember Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And you can think about this for a couple weeks now, but what kind of body did Lazarus live in after he was raised from the dead? Just hold on to that. But after he was raised from the dead, he wasn't in a glorified body. So, in this somehow intermediate state, Lazarus, John chapter 12, verse 2, was reclining at the table with Jesus. So he could recline, you could see him. Could he eat? Probably. In John chapter 12, verse 9, Jews came to see Lazarus. You could see him. Moses, Matthew chapter 17, verse 3. Moses, who had died over 1,400 years earlier, appears with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, Moses appeared, so he's visible, and he's talking with Jesus. A widow's son, Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. This son died. Jesus raised this son from the dead, and the son could speak. He could speak. And that's true of others who were raised from the dead. Those who were raised from the dead in the Bible were not raised right back into their physical, mortal body to die again. Do you know why? We studied it last week. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die. The widow's son didn't die twice. Lazarus didn't die twice. Well, then, what happened to them? Well, we'll get to that in the future, but those are some things to think about. Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8, verses 53 through 55. She died. Jesus said, "Child, arise." She got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Okay, just hold on to those, and if I'm creating more questions than I'm answering, that's all right. You think about it. But some answers to some questions about the intermediate state of the believer are, like your loved one who died as a saved person, is that person identifiable? Yes. All of these were. Is that person conscious and aware? Yes. Is that person active? Yes. Is that person seeing? Can they see? Yes. Although they see in the realm where they are. Okay, they don't become omniscient. They see in the realm where they are. We'll get to this too. But your loved one isn't watching and looking down on you all the time. Okay? They have Jesus to focus on. They're not thinking about you. Okay? They will be when it approaches your time to die. And they will welcome you. But they don't see beyond. Can they eat? Yes, they can eat. But they don't get hungry, do they? So they eat not for survival, but for fellowship and enjoyment. Can they drink? Yes. Can they talk? Yes. All of those things. So your loved one who is now in paradise, in the third heaven, is completely caught up with worshiping and serving Jesus. All about Him. And they are having a great, the most pleasant, joyful time they've ever had. Say, oh, if they could only come back. You know what? You really don't want them to. Do you know what? They don't want to. They are in joy, in bliss, caught up with this. Now, I trust that this makes you, as a believer, happy in this, joyful in it, and even like Paul saying, you know what, I desire that. Yeah. Next time we'll look at the intermediate state for the unbeliever, and as much bliss as we've spoken of today, we'll be talking about torment and punishment and judgment next time. If you desire this bliss, conscious joy after death, believe Jesus for it. Because you don't get it any other way. You don't get it by trying. You don't get it by your works. You don't get it by commitments that you make, or things you do, or groups that you join, including churches. Only Jesus gives this. Believe upon him today, and this destiny can be yours. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the pictures that you give us and that we can know something of our friends and loved ones who have gone on before us in faith. And Lord, may we be like Paul and to say to live is Christ and to die is gain. If anyone has not yet believed upon Jesus for their salvation, we invite you to do that even today. Believers, worship him. In our chorus book number 113,